episode 28 of The Rift, January 24th, 2011. My name is Erythian.
And I'm Deskus.
So, Desi, how's your week been?
Pretty awesome, actually. I bought a new sewing machine.
Mm-hmm.
Bought a serger.
Yep.
Bought an adjustable mannequin.
Mm-hmm.
And I have internet.
Which is what I care about.
Exactly. She doesn't care about anything that actually helps me in the future.
No. She just wanted to have internet.
But how about you?
I've been doing pretty good. Pretty good. I have had internet all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm good.
I know.
24/7, really.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Pretty uneventful week. I'm waiting for beta. I have actually managed to refrain from chewing my nails down to the quick because I just want to play.
They're looking pretty good.
I thought so too, actually. Okay, so anyway, first up, we want to sincerely thank every single person who has taken the time out to either leave us an iTunes review, post commentary, and discussion on our blog, contact us through the contact form, Facebook, or the Rift Podcast email. We really appreciate it.
Yes. We're also sincerely grateful to everyone who follows us on Twitter and Facebook, and every single person who takes time to subscribe to us on iTunes or download through the site.
We thank you all for listening, because without you, let's just face it, we would be talking to ourselves.
Which, although I do it on a general basis, we generally don't record that.
And give it to other people to listen to if they want to.
Although it'd be pretty awesome.
I don't know. Sometimes my voices scare me.
I have some awesome conversations.
We should not say that out loud.
True. Okay.
Anyway, on to the rest of the show. Today we have Cindy Abigail Bowens with us. And we also managed to interview Chris Jr., senior systems designer, PvP, yay. So stay tuned after the interview for information on our Guild Screenshot Album Contest. The information is up on the site in a bit more detail.
Now, I have to point this out. Notice that I successfully made it to this interview.
I know, PvP interview.
Uh-huh.
PvP dev comes and you make it to the interview.
Exactly. Especially after I was all depressed after missing the last one.
I know.
I was really depressed.
Yeah, I think there's a pattern with this getting the internet back thing. Well, today we get to welcome Cindy Abigail Bowens back to the podcast.
Hi, Cindy. Hello, ladies. Very nice to talk to you again.
Are you excited maybe about the beta starting tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow, 25th. We're definitely looking forward to this one. Each beta is so much fun. You know, it's a lot of work and everybody's kind of going crazy trying to get everything ready and make sure, you know, everything's going to run the way that we hope that it will. And then it's just so exciting to go in as it starts and see everybody logging in, and you know, you see the new people that are coming in for the first time and going, oh wow, this is so great, you know. And then you see the people that have been here in all the betas or even in alpha, and you know, they jump in and they're kind of like the experts and they're telling everybody what to do. And then just the best part, I mean, you know, for so long we've seen Talara as kind of an empty world as we've been developing it. And so to walk into those betas and just see people everywhere and people forming groups and forming raid groups to fight the rifts. And, you know, it's so much fun to see it come alive. You know, it's like walking into an amusement park that's finally been opened, you know? And so it's really enjoyable. And I love going in there and getting to talk to people. You know, I'm limited so much to communication on the forums. So when I actually go into the game and can, you know, have a real conversation with people, it's a lot of fun. It makes my job just all the better.
Well, and I also it might sound, you know, mean. I don't mean it to sound mean, but when you're running around and you see the people who have only just started playing, and they see like a Rifter invasion for the first time, and you're like leveling your like third or fourth character up, and it's like their first time seeing the Rifted invasions just chasing them down, and they're like, ah, what is this? It's a lot of fun to watch. It's
mean.
I'm not
just mean.
Schadenfreude, you know, happiness at other people's expenses. When it's me getting owned, trust me, other people are laughing. I actually had a PM on the forums after the last beta of somebody who was overjoyed to realize that they killed me in PvP and felt that they actually won the game. I was like, yep. I was tanking like 6 NPCs at that time as well. Thank you for killing me in the process. But yeah, I mean, it's a great experience, and you have managed to bring along an amazing guest with you today. We have Chris Jr., and I will introduce him now. And today we are extremely lucky to have Chris Jr., Senior Systems Designer, with us. Welcome to the podcast, Chris.
Glad to be here.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about how you came to work for Trion and what a senior systems designer does?
Wow. So the story on how I got here would fill up 4 podcasts and require a lot of alcoholic beverages. So I'll cut to the end. Basically, okay, cool. One day, got a call from Russ Brown, had lunch with him, and he sold me on this amazing idea of a MMO with dynamic content, all these awesome systems that would just make designers like myself extremely happy. I was intrigued, so I checked it out and ended up that he had an awesome product to sell. And that's pretty much how I got here.
And what exactly do you do?
So systems designers are basically responsible for itemization, classes, the soul system, combat, and all that fun stuff. An example I've been doing lately is creating hundreds of mini pets to make people really, really happy.
Ooh.
Lots and lots of mini pets. So yeah, we do a lot of fluff, a lot of combat stuff. Basically, just the numbers of the game.
Excellent.
What is your favorite part of Rift and why?
Oh, hands down, the calling system. I love the souls. I love the combinations. And when it comes to a PvP perspective, it's great. Because one of the big problems in PvP, obviously, is balancing PvE versus PvP. Yeah. And we have this amazing soul system. We can do all sorts of crazy things with it.
Oh, excellent. Now, we're going to get on to the nitty-gritty of the PvP questions, why we have stolen you today. Now, invasions and rifts are considered to enhance world PvP. Are there plans to make people able to auto-queue and join raids for these invasions and mass PvP situations?
I'm glad you actually brought that up. We have a big surprise for Beta 5 coming out, which is our public grouping system. So players will actually be able to get a little pop-up and join groups, the players that are around them for rifts, and we really think that'll help out for PvP as well.
Sweet.
That will be fun.
So how will this work, and are there plans to extend this queuing system to Warfronts?
Well, on the bright side, we already have queuing for Warfronts. We really don't need to open groups for that. You just join the queue, you pop right in, and you go have some frantic PvP action.
How would you implement a smart queue system so that solo players don't get matched up with pre-mades too often?
That was actually a big piece of feedback that we honed in on after Beta 4. Obviously, it ends up that solo players don't like to join up against pre-made queues or pre-made groups. Who would have known? So we've actually been working on our queuing system, so now we have it set up so that, we try to match solo players against solo players and groups against groups first. Obviously, we want to have players having short queue times and stuff like that, so there will get to a point where, occasionally solo players will get matched up that way. But we're going to try to avoid that whenever possible.
Okay.
And it goes down from full-size groups to, if you and a friend just queue up together, it'll try to pair you against another group of players that have queued up.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good news. Okay, now, we've seen this amazing PvP video. I liked it. I thought it was good. According to the video, you have Whitefall Steps, Capture the Flag, the Black Garden, which is a martyrdom, the Codex, which is domination, and the Battle for Port Skyon, Conquest. Now, these are all available as Warfronts. Can you describe them for us?
Sure. So basically, we have the Black Garden, which is the first Warfront that opens up for players, opens up at level 10. And it is basically a huge cluster. We just throw everyone, 10 players on each side, throw them in the middle of the map, and say, hey, grab the Fang of Regulus. And what the Fang of Regulus does is you pick it up, and it kills you slowly over time. The longer you hold it, the more damage you take, the more points you get for your team. If you hang out in the middle where all the action is, obviously you get more points that way. If you want to run to one of the sides and hide and be a coward, you'll get less points. But, there's obvious tactics. People play the way they want to play. After that, so at level 20, we open up the Codex, which is basically a four-point domination map. You have the telescope, the obelisk, the statue, and, of course, the Codex. The key point of the Codex is the team that holds that actually scores more points than any other individual object in the map. So you hold it, you win, things are great. We follow that up at level 30 with Whitefall Steps, which is your classic Capture the Flag map, with a couple of twists, of course. And, like we got to say around here, it's a sort of it takes seconds to learn and years to master. It's far enough in the game where team play is very, very important. And you have to, do you want to defend? How do you want to attack? When's the best time to go in? Stuff like that. And at level 50, we wrap it all up with the Battle for Port Skyon. Over the last few months, we've heard a lot of things from players. Everyone really wants to see what Port Skyon is. And so basically we give them this a small version of what they can expect to see on the road for the Battle of Port Skyon, where basically the Defiance and the Guardians are fighting over a portion of Port Skyon that had been taken over by the Plane of Death. And there's all sorts of crazy action going on inside.
The video mentions that Port Skyon will be something both PvP and PvE players will want to take part in. Explain how this works. How is it going to appeal to those PvE players who perhaps aren't usually so keen on PvP?
So the great part about Port Skyon is there's so many things you can do inside of this map to help your team win. It's not just about going around killing players or defeating the general, which is, the big win thing. Mm-hmm. We also have quests and a little, many events going on inside the zone. So let's say you're more of a PvE raider. We actually have a boss inside of Fort Scion that you can take down, which will spawn a version of your lieutenant that will attack the other side. And he is a beast, so, you know, it's a way to distract the other team. There's also some smaller events that you can take part that, you know, launch their own little mini invasions. And then we have what we call the Capture the Source Stone minigame. Basically, there's Source Stones spread out all over the zone in, you know, key locations, and all you have to do is pick them up, just like you would in Whitefall, and run it back to your base, and if you collect enough of those, it'll spawn even more invasions. So basically, you're overwhelming the other team. It's just these massive PvE invasions. So if you're not a big fan of, you know, one-on-one PvP or even the group play, you can hang in the back and take part in these little side events and help mm-hmm. your team win.
It's a much bigger zone than the other PvP zones, is it?
It is considerably bigger. It is a what we like to call the land war in Asia. So it's like this massive event going on. No one wants to do, you know, no one wants to fight that kind of war, but sometimes that's be done. So it takes part in the streets of Fort Scion, and you have tactics like hiding behind buildings, and there's certain ways that are blocked off the enemy so they can't follow you through it. Some crazy stuff like that.
I'm gonna be good.
It's a 20-on-20 war front, so it's much larger in scale, and you know, larger is bigger.
Excellent. Or
larger is better, whatever.
Well, I think same. Both. Larger is bigger and better. How's that?
Hey, that's even better. Or bigger.
Now, I think the big question is Port Scion definitely going to be ready for release?
The battle for Port Scion will be ready for release, and that is the Warfront. Port Scion itself proper will be a post-launch feature.
Excellent.
It has its own story that has to be told.
Ooh, so the Warfront will definitely be there.
Yes.
When people hit 50, able to be used.
Able to be used right away.
Oh, they're going to love you for that. Now, there are four PvP cells. The Warrior has the Vindicator. The Cleric has the Templar, the Rogue has the Infiltrator, and the Mage has the Archmage. Now, there are reports of players not being able to level these souls up in beta. Can you tell us anything about obtaining the PvP souls and using them?
Sure. Currently on beta and alpha, the PvP souls themselves cost 2,500 favor to purchase. You earn favor by going out and killing players, you know, doing war fronts, random quests, stuff like that. So it's 2,500, it's, you know, do a handful of war fronts, boom, you get your soul. The best part about these souls early on is that you get an ability that basically lets you cancel all control state effects. So you fire it off, whee! You know,
no fear.
People can't do anything to me anymore. Exactly, stuff like that. And then each soul is broken down into tiers, and that first tier you can start spending points in right away. After that, each additional one requires another rank of prestige. You start gaining prestige at level 50, and that is your PvP experience. So once the PvE experience stops, you start grinding up, you know, your PvP side. And each additional tier in that PvP soul gets unlocked as you gain additional ranks. So players won't be able to start leveling up their PvP souls until they hit 50.
So that's going to sort of be like PvP, like 50 post-PvP game, like the end-game PvP, if you will.
Yeah, it's like end-game rating. Okay. You know, you get better, you know, once your levels are done, everyone knows how that playstyle works. Mm-hmm. They can keep growing farther with their PvP souls.
Excellent. So
now, how do they differ from normal souls?
Ah, that's a good point. So a lot of people have seen them, you know, there's been some crazy reactions on the forums about these things. The biggest point is that each of the PvP souls has a 21-point cap. You can't spend more than 21 points in that soul. So even if you spend 21 in that soul, you still have 46 available points for your PvE tree. Mm-hmm. So there's still some, you know, variety there. Each one is broken down into four linear paths. So unlike a normal soul, where, you know, you spend your 5 points or whatever on each tier, it unlocks another one. Once you choose a path, you have to keep going down that path if you want to go higher or diversify your points. So it opens up four different trees for different playstyles.
So is that so that's four different trees per different playstyle per soul?
So there are four different souls. Each soul inside of it has four different paths.
Okay.
So within the upper branches, you have four different paths you can take. And if you spend a full 21 points in a single branch, you'll unlock an awesome activatable ability at the top. The other thing that differs from PvE souls is that there's only four activated abilities you gain in the roots. So while a normal soul has up to 21 that you gain down there, PvP souls only give you 4.
Oh, okay.
The souls are obviously designed for PvP. Deeper in the tree, there are some abilities, you know, sort of cross over a bit. If you want to spend 15, 16 points in your PvP soul, you may gain something that will help you a little bit in PvE. But I'd say 80% of the stuff is designed directly for player versus player combat.
So you said that you unlock your PvP soul abilities after 50 with prestige that you earn after hitting level 50. So how is prestige going to be gained, and how is it going to work as, like, sort of a quasi-PvP level?
Prestige is gained basically the same way you gain favor. Favors are currency, and prestige is our leveling mechanic. Uh-huh. So when you kill a player out in the open world or in a war front, you get prestige at 50. complete a PvP quest, you get prestige. Win a war front, lose a war front, tie a war front, you get prestige. Mm-hmm. So there's all sorts of ways to gain it.
And then you can use it to unlock your PvP soul abilities.
Your ranks progress just like a normal level does. So you'll have a bar under your PvP window, hit K, go to PvP, have a nice little bar that's hidden until you hit 50. Then it shows up and it's like, yay, PvP. As it fills up, you know, you'll gain a rank, you get an awesome ding effect, just like a level. So, you know, people get sad, they hit 50, there's no more levels anymore. Well, go on and do some PvP, you'll get those 6 more dings out of the system.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Everyone loves dings, you know, it's a great feeling.
You do. It's nice to know you're not going to stop dinging after you hit 50. That sounded strange.
Yeah. Anyways, how will PvP gear that you obtain differ from PvE gear? Are there specific PvP stats, or will they simply pack on the endurance? What differentiates the types?
Obviously, we have a lot of endurance on our PvP gear. That's just a straight-up given. So, like, on the raid side, you have focus and hit, and those help you hit raid bosses. And focus, on the other hand, you know, allows your spells to go through. On the PvP side, we have valor. And valor, instead of increasing your chance to be offensive, it increases your chance to live. So it'll reduce the damage you take from other players. Helps, it really, really helps against focus fire, stuff like that. Valor is also a, what we like to call a top tier stat, so like strength and dex and other stats like that, you gain a little bit as you level. Mm-hmm. So even without PvP gear, you know, you can like mouse over it on the character sheet and like, hey, I'm taking less damage from players, yay. And then you go out and get valor and you'll increase that reduction in damage. You gain every level. So like, say you go from 3 to 4, you get a couple strength points, a couple dex, you'll get a couple valor points as well.
Okay, now, in many games, PvE crowd control abilities such as Stun, Fear, and Mesmerize are often nerfed due to them being really overpowered in PvP. Nobody likes to not be able to do something for any period of time. Now, how difficult has balancing the crowd control elements of the souls been to keep both sides happy?
Oh, happy. So we have lots of souls. We have lots of souls that have CC. So we've been really careful on how we, you know, pass that out to make sure everyone has a chance to get those abilities. Mm-hmm. The great thing about the PvP soul system is that, yeah, they are very annoying in PvP. And we put in special abilities inside of these souls that allow you to counter those if you want to go in that direction. The PvP souls themselves don't help as much with control, because obviously we have great control on our PvE souls.
Yep.
But there's, you know, there's a couple abilities to do that. But the majority of them are like, hey, how can I break a snare? How can I break a root? How can I do crazy stuff like this? So we have that. We have another knob over here that, you know, completely independent of our PvE game that allows us to tweak stuff.
Okay. So that allows it to be a little more, I guess, balanced in quotation marks.
Yes.
Because they're able to spec into this PvP soul and therefore have that break that you said, you know, that will break them out of a stun or a mez or a root.
Instead of just being trapped.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, the Vindicator soul has an ability. I think we bring it up in the video. I think it's called Understrained. And let's say you know, a mage casts a rune on you. As soon as he does that, he can activate Understrained, which will teleport him to the mage and break the rune. So we have stuff like that.
So it's kind of your own fault if you don't have the break. You can't be going, yeah, girl, I'm stuck.
If you're not PvPing with a PvP soul, then, I mean, it's there for the option to be PvP'd with.
Yeah, it's definitely an option. I mean, we have lots of guys on Alpha and Omega. Omega's our PvP test server right now. And we have guys who are extremely successful, completely ignoring the PvP soul. It is an option. It's just another option with the other 32 souls that we give players.
Excellent.
What can we expect from World PvP?
World PvP, the old classic question. So we think that Rifts and our dynamic Renovist bring some amazing options to PvP. Like the video showed, you know, you can just follow those rifts around. They're big old hotspot locators on the map, and chances are if there's a rift there, you're going to find the opposing faction. One of the big things we pulled out of our last beta, we had, you know, players were allowed to take out ward stones for quest hubs.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Some nasty stuff, and it promoted some awesome PvP. Well, obviously on the PvE side, you know, players like to do their quests. They like to go to the world, and, you know, when you just want to turn that quest in, you just want to turn that quest in and go to bed. And you don't want to have a whole bunch of players, you know, screwing it up for you. So, for, I don't know if it's going to be Beta 5, but definitely for Beta 6 for launch, we have our ancient wardstone system. Ooh. So basically, there'll be wardstones out in the world that'll pop up that look extremely different from our standard wardstones. They have, like, this floating symbol of the faction, so you know, hey, if I attack this thing, I'm going to get flagged up in PvP. Oh. And the same thing will happen on the PvE servers. And if you see those and you take them out and you turn them to your side, you'll get bonuses, you know, for your team. So definitely potential hotspots for player versus player action in the overworld.
Well, I'm hoping that will tide people over a little.
I hope so.
Okay.
What mechanisms, if any, are in place to prevent high-level characters from killing low-level characters on either server type?
So on PvE servers in particular, we don't have to worry about this because in the open world, you just aren't flagged. If you consensually flag up, you are an open target.
Here.
On PvP servers, we We have the starter zones, Mathosia and Terminus, where obviously no PvP takes place there. And then we have Silverwood and Free March, which for the sides that are supposed to be in those zones, they're protected. They're not flagged. And that'll stop the 50s from rolling in and, you know, killing the quest content and, you know, rolling over lower level players. Pretty much past that, you're open game. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of systems that have limited rules because I feel that, you know, promotes that kind of play style we want it to. One of the things that we don't do, we don't incentivize killing low-level players. Mm-hmm. So if you kill someone 7 levels lower than you, you're not going to get any favor or experience or prestige or any loot out of it. So that's pretty much the direction we're taking right now.
So basically, if you roll over there at 50 because you're bored and you want to kill the people, go for it, but there's going to be no reward for you over there, so you'll get bored very quickly?
Yeah, if you're a level 50 and you decide you're a 50 guard or 50 guardian and you're rolling to free march, you're basically, you know, you have a big target painted on the back of your head. Mm-hmm. And let's say level 20 Defiance want to get all together, they'll pretty much roll you. Yeah, but that's the option you have. I mean, you can run in there. You know, mm-hmm. a raid of 20 can take out a level 50 in our game. We don't do any crazy normalization or anything like that. So mm-hmm. you know, they're valid targets. And that raid of 20s, they'll get rewards. They will get rewards for killing level 50. It, mm-hmm. it caps off at a certain point.
Yeah.
But they'll get something out of it, and that 50 just gets nothing. Or 50.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
How has PvP affected the overall design of the game? Has it made you implement specific things differently than originally intended in order to support it?
PvP was definitely, you know, on our minds from when we started with the dual faction system. It takes, you know, a lot of explanation as to why we set up the zones and the flagging the way we did. You know, we have Free March of Silverwood separated so that, you know, players can start up, have a little bit of time to learn the game and get into it. And then as you progress through the game, you'll start noticing that, you know, your quest camps are a little bit closer to the other side. And then once you get towards the end of the game, any of the quest hubs are shared. So you have to figure out, you know, how do I want to handle this? You know, do we have some diplomacy going on, mm-hmm. or are we just going to run in and roll over everything? So yeah, it's definitely taking place. We spent a lot of time making sure that even on the PvE server, if players don't want to PvP, they're not forcing any content like that.
Now, in earlier podcasts, we've spoken with Scott Hartzman and the lore team, who told us that the cities weren't really designed to be sieged, and that NPCs wouldn't be itemized in the cities. Have these stances changed at all since running the betas? Will the cities be heavily NPC-defended? Will they be itemized?
We actually still have no city sieges planned at this time. Players are welcome to try, and they're welcome to try to wipe out those guards. I would not go into those cities with less than a raid of level 50 players ready to go, because those bosses are pretty beefy.
That sounds like fun. That sounds like a challenge almost.
That is a challenge.
Keep that in mind.
You know they're going to be taking you up on that on Tuesday, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, you got to realize, there's more than just, you know, standard rewards in PvP. Sometimes it's the fact that, hey, I took your city out and I killed everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a pretty good reward.
I made life hard for you.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so what about achievements there? Will there be, like, achievement announcements, world notifications of PvP-based first drop loot or city sieges, or any PvP achievement like blah blah just killed Asha Katari?
Well, we actually just got some brand new tech for announcing achievements. We haven't gone through, you know, attached, hooked it all up, figured out what's going to be the most important, what we're going to broadcast. So there are some possibilities there. Right now, we definitely do not have an achievement for killing Asha, because, you know, we don't want to promote that kind of playstyle.
Okay.
Yet, never know what might
Asha
happen.
To die? That's like sacrilege.
But we have lots of PvP achievements, and I'll give someone a little hint. Let's see. If you win a duel in the opposing city, you get an achievement for it. So if you can find your way into the opposing city and actually duel a friendly person on your side and kill them, you'll get an achievement for that.
That's kind of cool.
But good luck getting in there and pulling it off.
That's funny. So like Bill Fisher, do you believe that players are the most dangerous game?
Oh man, the end of that video is awesome. I have no idea how happy we were that it actually made the cut. Definitely. I definitely agree. There's nothing more adrenaline pumping than, you know, that open world experience where you're out there doing some quests and you think you got it down, you've done it maybe 3 or 4 times before on alts, and you get jumped by a guy and just absolutely destroyed. Or, you know, the exact opposite happens. You're about to die, he jumps mm-hmm. in for that, you know, that last minute gank, and you just rock his world. So yeah, by far, it adds some of the best dynamic content to a game.
Given the choice of anyone working at Tryon, who would you play or kill on site given the chance?
Oh, man, I have a list of developers who wrote down the Chloromancer name. And I'm going to put it out there for the world right now. That was my name. I love that name.
I voted for it.
Well, thank you very much. See, I'm glad that our fans pulled down and recognized the awesomeness that is the Chloromancer. So At launch, I will definitely have a character that's a Chloromancer, and I'll run around killing as many devs as I possibly can.
Yay. Okay, now, I have to ask, how many ways have you found to kill Simon so far?
Oh, poor Simon. He doesn't need any help. He dies easy enough. Poor guy.
Oh, I was going to ask you if you killed him with your favorite pie yet, because that would just be legendary.
Oh, favorite pie. My favorite pie, I've been trying to convince the bakers around here to make it. I want a cake that has a pie baked into it. I think that would be the most amazing thing ever.
That would, like, just be revolutionary.
See how I skirted that whole cake pie thing?
That was very well done. Pie cake or cake pie. A cake that hides a pie.
Even better. Oh. It's like, surprise, pie.
Here, have your cake. Surprise, it's pie as well.
Oh, have your cake and pie and eat them both.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, now, is there anything else you'd like to let people know about the PvP in Rift?
Ah, looting player corpses. So while you aren't allowed, you know, to steal someone's boots like some other awesomely epic games, all players do have their own loot tables. Certain zones have their own loot tables players can drop from. So, hey, you may be in a Warfront one day and, you know, an awesome epic bow drops. Ooh. And it only drops in that zone, and it only drops off players. So, just saying, there's some cool stuff out there. Go PvP. It'll be worth your time.
Thank you so much for taking out the time to come and chat to us, Chris. We really, really appreciate it. We know you're extremely busy right now.
Ah, good old crunch. Nah, it's awesome.
Well, we look forward to seeing you in the beta that starts on Tuesday.
Thank you very much. I'll be there with everyone else.
Sweet.
That was a lot of fun and a lot of information. Now, yes. Cindy, are you still there?
Yes, I sure am.
That's good. Now, is there anything else about the community you would like to share with us?
Well, I am looking forward to seeing a whole lot more of you in beta this week. Those of you that got your newsletters, you know that you've got some pretty impressive codes there. So be handing those out to people and get all your friends and your guild mates and everybody into the beta with us. We're looking forward to seeing you all there.
Ooh. Are they going to be increasing servers, or do we still have the same amount of servers?
That's going to depend on the population. You know, they're preparing for quite a few people. I really can't go into detail about how many servers they have ready and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to really talk publicly about that at this point. But hey, you know, I was in a meeting where they were talking about, you know, having servers in reserve and, you know, waiting to see how many people we actually have logging in.
It's a good test, though.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I must admit, I love the fact that I have crashed once in beta. In every single beta, I have crashed once. That's the only, I've only crashed once.
Cool. That's a good record.
There were approximately 6 mobs attacking me and about 5 invasions incoming and about 60 people around me at the time. So I'm thinking it was a pretty good crash. And I'd been playing for like about 5 hours.
That's a pretty good crash, I think.
Yeah. So, and I was immediately back in. I didn't even crash to desktop. Mm-hmm. I actually just crashed to character select. It booted me back into character select and I could go straight back in.
So. You know, I know that when you talked with Scott in a previous podcast, you know, he talked about how amazing it was to have everything working as well as it is. And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's feeling like that. It's like, you know, we've all been through betas before around here, you know, and we're used to dealing with a whole lot more difficulty than we have. You know, and even as a player, you expect betas to not go so smoothly, you know. I mean, I've done betas before and I log in expecting downtime and expecting lots of crashes and lots of terrible bugs and I've been amazed, too, that I haven't seen any of that in this beta. It's just gone so well. And, you know, I'm like a mom. I feel proud of all these guys around here. It's like, oh, you all did so good.
Let me bake your cookies.
Exactly.
I must admit that, you know, usually a game releases and everybody's like, man, it's just like we're paying to play the beta. But I don't feel like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like this beta is very, every single event has been so stable and so clean.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even feel like you're playing, you know, what people have come to be used to as a beta.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, and it's wonderful that, you know, they've been able to really concentrate on, you know, adding more things and getting things, you know, ready for launch rather than having to spend their time, you know, fixing things over and over again. And, you know, not to say that we haven't had any issues. I mean, if you've been in beta, you know, you've seen that there have been problems that have come up. But, you know, these guys have been just amazing at how fast they've turned things around and gotten patches out quickly and just fix things, you know, on the go.
Yeah, I don't know how they're doing it with that speed, but power to them. I hope they get to sleep after launch.
Yeah, people aren't sleeping a lot around here. That's got a lot to do with it.
I have to admit, the one, I don't know if it was a bug. I think it is. There's one, like, when you're doing the big rift invasions, there's this huge monster that spawns in the middle of one of the rifts is the last thing, and it's got, like, 1.1 million hit points, and it turns around and inevitably kills every single person, like, all, like, 100 people that are trying to kill him with, like, one AE. That was last beta, and that was hilarious.
Crazy. I was watching over her shoulder, just going, yeah. I'm glad I don't have a character right there.
It was hilarious. And then you'd rez, because you're like, oh my god, what was that? You'd rez, and you'd, like, get killed again, because he was AEing. And then he'd despawn.
Yeah.
But it was hilarious. It was, you know, this mass group of people just slaughtered.
Hey, people kept trying, though.
People kept trying, though.
Yeah, yeah, they're still working on some of that. So we appreciate all of your help as we adjust all of those kind of things. So thank you for jumping in and fighting those mobs so we can see how it goes.
It's like, even if it looks like you are going to lose and you don't have a hope in hell, you still go and fight that invasion.
Hey, and have fun with it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's right.
Well, Cindy, thank you very, very much for coming back.
Oh, anytime. I look forward to talking with you guys every week.
Good, because we plan to drag you back.
Good.
Have a wonderful beta, Cindy.
Thank you. You too.
So that interview was totally a lot of fun to listen to.
I liked it. I had good fun.
I was totally giddy just sitting here, and I know I said totally twice. I'm just giddy, like I said.
You've been giddy since you saw that video.
I know. It's so exciting.
She rewound and rewatched the Port Skyon bit, like, 20 times.
Exactly. That's the problem. See, I'm not very epic at leveling really fast with my schedule. I'm always doing something that I should be doing instead of playing the game, which makes me want to cry.
Yeah, she usually plays the game instead of sleeping, which is...
Yeah, exactly. I do my homework, then I do the game, and then I eventually sleep before I get up to go to school. But anyways, I have to get to level 50 as soon as possible. So
you do.
I can do that, because I really want to do Port Sion.
It looks really good.
Exactly.
And I mean, they don't really show you that much of it, but it makes me want more.
I can't decide if I want to be the conniving person causing problems for the other team or out there killing the other team.
I loved his description of it mm-hmm. more than, like, the video looked mm-hmm. like amazing, because compared to the other mm-hmm. zones, that zone is, like, humongous.
Yes.
So the amount of, like, team versus team, like, mm-hmm. maybe a bit of strategy here, and I think the amount of team versus team play mm-hmm. in there, like, side versus side, is going to be much more versatile than the other ones.
Yeah.
And his descriptions, you can't say anything until you get to play it.
Exactly.
So I think they should just buff us to 50 and let us play in Port Sion.
Yeah, you can totally predict where I might be in a couple weeks. Just hanging out any of those zones. Like, four fronts. Where you at, Desi? Four fronts.
Oh, God. Yeah, so Port Sion is looking great. And I was just so relieved to hear that it is really going to be in there. Mm-hmm. For when we hit 50, it will be there. And the leveling, the PvP leveling. I can still ding after 50 on PvP levels.
That's the problem I have at times. It's like, where do you go after that?
Yeah.
You know, you hit 50. You're not getting anything. You're not earning anything.
Well, I guess, though, yeah. They have, like, the PvP factions. Mm-hmm. I believe they have, like, crafting quests and mm-hmm. stuff you can do.
Yeah, I know. They're going to have... So.
Well, I don't know.
This game will give you a lot more.
I think this game's going to give you a lot to do at 50. So it's good to know that there is... Post 50 mm-hmm. PvP.
Exactly.
That has made me at least a little, maybe, I don't know. The guild wasn't going to go on a PvP server because mm-hmm. I weren't any world objectives.
But now you want to.
I don't know if I do, but now it's looking a little more promising. So you never know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And now for the guild screenshot album contest.
Da-da-da! The contest we told you about last week starts tomorrow, Tuesday 25th of January, just in time with Beta 5.
Yep. Now remember, we need 7 screenshots from each guild, 6 from individual members, and 1 lovely family portrait of as much of your guild as you have in beta. Pick your theme and go for it. Remember, we need proof that it's beta 5 in the screenshots.
Hi, Rift Podcast Beta 5. First prize will receive an Ultimate Rift Guild hosting package from Engine Epic Guild site hosting for 12 months. Runner-up will receive the premium package from Engine also for a period of 12 months.
Yep. Now make sure you check the Rift blog for full details, because we have them all posted up, all the little intricacies and stuff. And we're really, really looking forward to seeing really good screenshots.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Our little albums. And amuse us with the themes, because this should be fun for everybody to do. And don't forget to pop over and visit the folks at Engine if you want to see what they have to offer. And keep up to date on all the Rift features they're adding. We'll have links up on the site and in the blog post.
Now for our weekly updates. Tuesday, January 18th, Massively released some information on this strange race of people, the Druids. New information on the new Methosian Empire was released. Check it out at 10 Ton Hammer.
Good read, that one. On Wednesday, January 19th, GamesRadar had exclusive pictures of the beasts you'll be killing. Now, actually, that was kind of cool, that one. Yeah. I like the crystally looking dude. He was fun. Massively released yet another exclusive class, the Void Knight. Oh, yes. I cannot wait for 50 to do my Void Knight build.
Yes. And Thursday, January 20th, looking for more mage information? Check out the Dominator, another massively exclusive. Tryon released a new PvP video this week. Check out our write-up for the details. It was awesome.
I love that PvP video.
I love it.
I loved it. And I love the ending. It makes them so much more human. Yes. You know, like, they're real. It's good. I like that. That
cracked me up.
Now, also on Thursday, Yogcast released a video podcast on YouTube all about playing Rift and first impressions. It's a great thing to look at. Now, on Friday, January 21st, Massively had another class release with the Saboteur. Rift IRC also had yet another developer chat. Check out the Scarlet Gorge dev chat over at Talarapedia. And while you're there looking at the notes from the Rift IRC dev chat, make sure you check out some of Talarapedia's other features. It has been around for a very long time. It's the longest standing wiki on Rift.
Now it's about that time again. Don't forget to visit us at riftpodcast.com. We'll have all the links mentioned up in our blog post. It's now less than 5 weeks to go until launch. It's a countdown.
Just a bit.
Totally. It just continues on.
And now it actually goes 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And now I have internet. So
you have internet. I am so happy.
I'm not worried anymore.
I get to drag you into beta with me this time, which is really good.
Please don't beat me up too much, guys.
Well, you played a little bit at my house last time. But
I will get revenge. Yes. I love you guys, but... Be nice to the Desi.
Now remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. If there is something you would like to contribute or to share with us, you can contact us via riftpodcast@gmail.com, in comments on the site, or through the Contact Us feature. And if any of you do subscribe through iTunes, if you are bored and would like to just, you know, leave a little review or something, it would be awesome, because we don't have many.
Yeah, it's kind of naked in the bad way.
Naked. Said, did the you bad say way. Naked in a bad way?
Yeah, naked's not a bad thing typically.
Well, it's up to you. If you would like to leave our reviews naked, go for it. So we hope you enjoyed the podcast. This is Arithian.
And this is Deskus.
And we will talk to you next week.